Good evening. Here I am. I just want to say that I think Liberty Baptist Church is blessed with a couple of the greatest men to stand up here and preach and proclaim God's Word, and David and M.A., but they ain't here. So this is kind of like Wednesday night detention. So y'all hang on. The message I want to share tonight, I had an opportunity to go speak several months ago at a men's fellowship. And I brought this message there, and ever since then, the fellow that I asked to go with me, he hits me up every once in a while, and he says, you need to speak that one again, share that one again. But I would never hang him out and embarrass him or nothing like that, and I would never betray his confidence or anything like that. So that's going to remain secret, and if y'all know who it might be, see him around, y'all can scold him if this hurts your feelings. But that's the route we're going to go tonight. So I appreciate your patience. Let's pray. Father God, we bow before you right now. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. And Father, we thank you for that sacrifice and that gift. And Father, in all those, as we walk in faith, I pray that that's what draws us here tonight. So I thank you for the faithful hearts that are here. I thank you for the ones that will be joining us on the internet, Father, or maybe checking in a couple of weeks. But we ask that you bless our time together as we open your word. Amen. You know, if we look back in church history, we would see that no great work of the Lord, no great revival, no great awakening in the body of Christ happened by accident. God always knew what he was up to, but those things happen when a group of people, a group of followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, were committed to the cause of Christ. And as we look, the size of the group never seems to matter. It's the faithful commitment, whether small or great in number, that gets the ball rolling when we talk about a commitment, a faithful commitment. So here's some things some pastors and some missionaries have said about commitment. One pastor says 90% of parishes across the country require less commitment than the local Kiwanis Club. I didn't say this. I'm just quoting. This is secondhand. It will not hold up in court. If I say this phrase, how many of you are going to know what I'm talking about? Tastes great, less filling. Does anybody know where that comes from? You can raise your hand if you want to. Most of you's lying, I know. But back, that phrase come from an old beer commercial when they first introduced light beer, I think. I know y'all know what I'm talking about. I ain't got to explain myself. But here was a cartoon. A cartoon made fun of the low level of commitment required in many modern churches. It was a church sign that read, "The Light Church, 24% fewer commitments, home of the 7.5% tithe, 15-minute sermons, 45-minute worship service. We have only 8 commandments, your choice. We have 3 spiritual laws and an 800-year millennium. everything you've always wanted in a church and less. David Livingstone was working in Africa as a missionary when some of his friends wrote to him, "We would like to send some other men to you. Have you found a good road into your area yet?" Livingstone responded, "If you have men who will only come if they know there is a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there's no road at all." Now, when we talk about commitment, what these folks had to say, doesn't that sound like our modern churches a little bit? And I know I'm preaching to the choir because this is our Wednesday night crowd. And I know as we schedule different services, it's going to be, you know, Sunday's going to be a bigger crowd down to the Wednesday crowd. So just bear with me. But when we think about what these guys have said, does that not sound like our modern churches? And it's amazing to me because those quotes come from 1982 to 1989, almost 40 years ago. And that's what people were noticing about our churches 40 years ago. And we're still there today. In America, we have become spoiled to what a commitment to the church, to the body of Christ. Now, I'm not talking about a commitment to attend church. I'm talking about a commitment to the body of Christ and the cause of Christ actually looks like. Because those quotes were from 40 years ago, and we're still seeing the same things today. Now, during David's reign, the name of the Lord was known throughout the land of Israel. But before David became king, the first king of Israel, Saul, tried to kill him. He sought to take David's life. If you read that story, numerous occasions, did he try to track down David? Did he try sneak attacks and different things to take his life? And David had a couple opportunities to take Saul's life, but he wouldn't do it. But David's out hiding from Saul and his pursuit. He's hiding in a cave when we read of David's mighty men and their commitment in 2 Samuel chapter 23. Now, David's mighty men, there's 37 of them that's listed in 2 Samuel chapter 23. But we're going to jump and read about three of them in verses 13 through 17. "And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold. And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well at Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord." These men were committed to David. They knew who David was. They knew that David was the rightful king. And they were willing to give it all up for the man after God's own heart. They were so committed that they broke through the host of the Philistines. They broke through the Philistine lines. They broke through the Philistine guard to give their king a drink of the water that he longed for. Now, I don't know how much they brought back. If it was a red Solo cup, a big igloo drinking cooler, I don't know. But they risked their lives in an effort for their king to bring him back some water that he longed for. And that's what commitment was to them. Today, our commitment, it may waver if it's raining, if it's too hot, which it's been plenty of that. If it's too cold, you know, I went in my shop the other day. Mike, this was a few hours after I was talking to you the other Saturday. Went in my shop to go get my wire brush. And any other time I go out there to get something, I take my wire brush and I move it out of the way because it's in my way. I think I got two of them now. So I take it and I move it out of the way. So a few weeks ago, I took that thing and put it where I'll get it when I need it. And I happened to need it Saturday, and guess what? Couldn't find it. Don't know what I did with it. But unfortunately, unlike my little wire brush, car keys, any other little doodad you put away so you can need it later and can't find it, unlike those, an excuse, if we hunt them, we can always find them. They are there for the taking. These men showed no excuse. They got up and went on behalf of their king. Jump over to Joshua chapter 24. But before we move on for that verse, what those mighty men demonstrated was that commitment will take courage. Joshua 24, familiar verse. In verses 14 and 15, it says this, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Choose this day and every day. Not every other day, not every few days, but a choice every day to serve the Lord. I reckon that to love. People don't understand that love is a choice. It's not something we trip and fall into or out of. It's something we choose to do. This scripture says, choose every day to serve the Lord. And that's what we should be doing. To serve the one true and living God, we can't be wishy-washy. We're either in or we're out. So based on that scripture, I would say that commitment will be consistent. You know, sometimes I look at my life and my commitment to the Lord, and it feels like sometimes the only thing consistent about it is when I fail. But God's love for me is consistent. God doesn't love me any more than He loves you. But when we make that choice every day to serve Him, that makes our commitment consistent. Let's jump over into Luke. Chapter 9. Verses 57 through 62. "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." These men had just one more thing to do. one more thing that they thought they needed to do. Probably one more thing that they just wanted to do. But Jesus makes the point here that there is nothing more important than the call of Christ on a person's life. On a person's life. When we make that commitment. When He draws us to Him and we say, Lord Jesus, yes, You are my Lord and Savior. I commit my life to You. From that scripture, I think when we commit our life to Him and forsaking everything else that we may need or think we have to do or want to do, I would say commitment will cost you. But Paul says of all the things that his following Christ has cost him, he counts them as rubbish. And if you look that up, you can find some more colorful terms for that. But Paul counts them as nothing compared to what he's gained because of his commitment to Christ. So a commitment to Christ will cost you. I bet several people in here could probably testify to the fact that once we begin our walk with Christ, the friends that we had may be a little different than the friends we have now. I'm not saying I don't love some of those friends as much as I always have. But as far as fellowship and taking care of what comes into my mind through my eyes and my ears, those friendships aren't the same. Luke 9, 23 and 25, staying in Luke chapter 9, but backing up just a little bit. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? The cross we have on our steeples, the crosses we may have stuck up in our yards, the crosses we may wear around our neck, they don't have the same meaning as they did during the time when Jesus walked the earth. It was a vile thing. And Jesus' disciples may not have known what was about to happen or why Jesus was going through this. And some may not have known who Jesus actually was yet. But one thing they did know, being from that community, that country, that part of the world, is that when He started up that hill, bearing His own physical cross, that at the top of that hill, they would take His life. They knew that was about to happen. But what they didn't understand is that they wasn't really taking anything from Jesus. He was giving it to them for you and for me. He gave it away. And Jesus said, so He could finish the work that God had given Him. Because Jesus says from the cross in John 19:30, it is finished. So based on Jesus' example, our commitment should be complete. Should be complete. And you should know by now that I don't normally keep you very long, so I'm going to close with this right here. When I was doing some digging on this, going through some stuff about commitment and looking at some different things, I found this little joke I'm about to read to you in two different deals. I mean, at different time frames, and I don't know where they come up with it, but it's talking about Farmer So-and-so. And just for pulling the name out of the hat, I'm going to call him Farmer Dobbs. I don't know where I got that from. But Farmer Dobbs's animals got to talking one day about doing something nice for Farmer Dobbs. And the chicken spoke up and said, "I think we ought to have a bacon and egg breakfast." And the pig said, "Of course you do. It would only take a contribution from you, but it will take a commitment from me." So I want to close by asking you, is our commitment a contribution or a commitment? Or can we examine ourselves and understand, is our commitment really a commitment at all? Thank you. I'm going to close in prayer, and then I got one short announcement. Father God, we thank you for your word. Father, and I thank you for these faithful people here tonight, and I just pray somewhere, somehow, that this has touched, moved, motivated someone to check themselves in their commitment to the cause of Christ, and their commitment to being a child of God, Father. And Father, I pray for the heart that may not know you as their Savior, that you would make yourself known, and that they would come to be a child of the living God also. Father, again, I thank you for this people and this body. Amen.